Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Dance Monkey Dance. I'm Chris.
I'm John.
How you doing, John?
I'm doing great. Happy Mother's Day, you mother.
Yeah. Happy Mother's Day to all those motherfuckers out there. Did you call your mother?
Yes, so what's new in your world?
Oh, not too much. It's all rainy and shit here. It's been raining for the past couple of days. So everything's soggy when you go outside. How's things in hell, Florida?
Oh, same old, same old. Waiting for rain.
Yeah.
Waiting for rain. There's rumbling in the distance, but nothing else.
That's just DeSantis. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Trying to keep his wife.
There's a really good story. Yeah. There was a really good story in the news last week that we missed.
What did we miss?
A 63-foot yacht almost sank off of Miami Beach, holding, and it had 32 influencers on board.
Oh, man. I hope they all died.
Unfortunately,
I mean, I hope they're
okay. Everybody was rescued, and there's video of them, like, in lifeboats with their phones out, documenting, laughing about it.
Was it, well, we say influencers. Was it anybody of note?
Not that I know of. Not that I know any influencers by name these days.
When did this
apparently
happen?
it had a capacity of 12, and there were 32 people on it.
Holy shit.
It happened on Saturday.
Nice.
Yeah.
Does it not give the names of the influencers?
Nope. Well, I don't know. I'm on the NBC News site.
That's what I'm looking at too.
That's how influential they are.
Like, why the fuck would you pack 32 individuals on a boat that was only meant for 12? Like, what the fuck, man?
Oh, probably to get the clicks, because that's what it's about. Getting the clicks, baby. Get the likes. Yay, it's sinking. Like.
So apparently most of them were women.
Uh-huh.
So Daily Mail in the UK is reporting that about 30 women, bikini-wearing women, were jammed onto a luxurious vessel made for 16 passengers for a boozy day in the sun during Formula One weekend. They posted videos of themselves popping champagne and dancing as they laid out on the boat. The $4.5 million yacht started rapidly tipping over and sinking, which quickly turned the flashy outing into a dire situation. The passenger, Lauren Nicole, whoever the fuck that is, showed orange life vests being passed around as women gathered together, nervously waiting to board rescue boats. Pieces of the Technomar for Lamborghini 63 yacht were seen floating in the water as Lauren shouted "fuck my life" in a panic. So I don't know if they could be really called influencers. They were like just streaming their shit, you know.
Well, that's the new term for prostitutes. You can't call them hoes anymore. Call them influencers.
Okay. I mean, it doesn't do anything for the stereotype about, like, women not being smart or, you know, mm-hmm. all of that shit that they packed 30 women onto this thing. That was built for 12.
Right.
So yeah.
I wish there was more news like that.
But them not surviving.
Yes.
Logan Paul sank in a boat and was never seen again.
Right?
But you know what happened this week that we can talk about?
What's that?
We have a new pope.
And he's from Chicago.
A Chicago-born pope, an American pope, who mm-hmm. apparently doesn't like MAGA, which is tickles me to no end. They were the MAGA people were going crazy, saying that he was a Marxist pope, with people being like, oh, wait until they get a load of the Jesus guy.
Right.
So yeah, apparently the pope likes baseball. Pope's been to a lot of Chicago baseball games. He's been on TV, like in the crowd. I'm a little upset that Pizza Balla didn't make it, because that was the one I was rooting for.
Yeah.
But, you know. Yeah, so how do you feel about the new pope being American?
I don't know. The head of a cult? I don't know. It does not have the same depth of meaning that it used to.
Okay. Fair enough.
Apparently, there were also some very wealthy conservative Catholics who went to Rome and were promising billions of dollars in donations if the right pope was voted on.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
That's like, yeah, that's awesome.
So I guess the question is, was the right pope voted in?
Well, I don't know. If they wanted a conservative pope, I don't think they got him.
No, and everything that I was reading is that while he's pretty much like a center, you know, facing Christian, a lot of people were a little upset with him turning his attention away from, I guess he was very instrumental in keeping priests who diddled kids out of trouble. So
yeah, I did see that.
There is that. So, you know, that's not great. But he seemed a lot more to the left than what I guess a lot of the cardinals were saying that they needed when it came to like keeping with doctrine and shit like that. He seems a little bit more liberal, kind of like the last one, which I guess
right.
is good. But I mean, we'll see how they react in the coming weeks of, you know, whatever the fuck they want him to do.
Well, we're just gonna have to wait and see.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry you lost the vote, though. I tried.
Right.
So, did you watch anything this week?
I did.
Yeah.
There's some new stuff this week.
Yeah, what'd you watch?
I watched the first three episodes of Poker Face.
I've seen the first two.
Okay.
I really liked the first one. I thought they did a really good job with, I don't know her name, the one from Wicked. Cynthia
Erivo.
Erivo. Playing, was it sextuplets? Or is that, no, that's six, right?
It was five.
Five. Like five. But five she also the same played character.
But she also played different characters playing two of the other ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was like seven if you count that.
Yeah, so it was really good though. I mean she killed it. You know, I think Natasha Lyonne does really well in that. And she actually directed the second one.
Yeah.
I don't know if you caught that. The one in the funeral home.
Mm-hmm.
With Giancarlo Esposito in it. Amazing group of guest stars.
Oh, yeah.
And I guess that's just based on the strength of the first season, but like there it's really good. I really enjoy that show. What'd you think?
I really, really like it.
Yeah.
I like Natasha Lyonne. I love the character. I love the kind of absurdity of everything. You know, she's still being chased by the mob.
Yeah. The shots in the first one where she's like she's working at the haunted hayride.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, yeah, you know, I'm just kind of hanging out. And then the mob's on the hayride and they're just shooting at her.
Yes. And the kids on the hayride think it's part of the show.
Yep.
Yeah, I thought that was funny. I love how like the first 15 minutes of every episode has nothing to do with Natasha Lyonne, has nothing to do with Charlie.
Yeah, but like, it turns out for a lot of this, she's there for,
right,
for it. She's like,
you just don't notice.
Yeah, you just don't notice. And there was a scene in the second episode where you're not sure what's going on in the very beginning. And you don't know what you're looking at. You don't realize that they're shooting a movie or whatever. And the woman is bent down at the side of this casket. And I'm watching the top of the screen for some reason. And I'm like, why is there smoke like at the top of the casket? And then 15 minutes later, when they're showing you the backstory, it's her. It's Charlie has been hired as a dead body for the movie and she's vaping in the casket. Mm-hmm. And so there's this whole thing that like, she's there for all of it. You're not seeing it from her point of view until later on. And it's just so well done.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, it's a really good show. I'm very happy with the way that's all going.
Yeah, and I mean the guest stars they get.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's favorite Richard Kind is in episode 3.
Oh, is he?
With John Mulaney and Howard from Big Bang and Rhea Perlman.
I got to tell you, I did not recognize Katie Holmes in the second episode.
I didn't either.
Until I looked it up. I was like, "Who is that?" And I think I had seen her name in the credits and I was like, well, when is Katie Holmes coming out? And then I looked it up. I was like, oh, that's Katie Holmes. I was like, holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
That's not good. Is the third one a good episode?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah. And Howard from Big Bang also made a cameo on Night Court.
Did you see that's getting canceled?
Yes. Thank God. I mean, if they could have gotten rid of her, get rid of Abby.
Yeah.
Make Larroquette the judge. Keep Wendy Malick. Keep Marsha Warfield. I think they could have really had a good, solid show.
So what was Howard's character in the episode?
He comes back as her ex-husband.
Oh, clever.
Yeah.
So did they end up getting everybody back from Big Bang to guest star, or were they missing people?
Mime was on it and Raj was on it.
Okay.
I don't think Sheldon or Leonard were on it.
Oh, okay.
But I mean, it's for the best.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about all of the pitfalls of the show and how much it sucked and stuff. So
yeah, it never found that sweet spot.
Yeah.
You had some really good actors, but you weren't giving them good stuff. And the ones that focused on anybody other than Abby were like the best.
Yeah.
You know, but again, bringing back all the old cast, you know, bringing back Brent Spiner and, you know, all of those old characters, it's like, it's just showing you that there's no going forward.
Yeah.
You know?
Old ideas Sad. Aren't necessarily good ideas.
No. No, not at all.
What else did you watch?
I watched Andor.
Yeah. What'd you think of this block?
I love Andor. I really do.
Yeah, it's going to be a shame when it's over.
Yeah, definitely. But I mean, this is like just keeps the ball rolling forward. You know, we know where we're going.
Yeah. And
but it's still a fun ride as we get there.
And it's nice that you know, one of the things that I really liked about Rogue One is that they didn't try to shove Cassian and Jyn together. That,
right.
You know, it was more of a mutual working relationship than it was like, oh, you know, here's this guy and she's a woman, so she must be in love with him. And it was like, no, it was all about the mission. And looking back on the way that Rogue One ends, it's nice that we know now that, like, he had a wife, she left, and he was waiting for all this to be over so that he could find her according to her message. And like, romance was the least thing on his mind. It was all about, and why he was the character that he was in Rogue One, where he was trying to get the rebellion to win against the Empire so that he could go back to his life.
Right.
And the storytelling, like, you know, this suffers a lot from the prequel problem of, you know, where they end up. And so there's nothing that you can do that's going to put Cassian or Mon Mothma in mortal danger.
Right.
So while there's tension in all of this, while there's tension during the massacre on Gorum, and there's tension during Mon Mothma's speech to the Senate, you know that no harm is going to fall to them because you've seen them after that.
Right.
But
right,
the way that they tell the story, there's still so much tension in the idea of making their escape out of the Senate building, and Cassian's got to make some hard decisions. And like, who's that? He's my driver. Can we trust him? No. And so he kills him. And
right.
You know, Mon Mothma's like flipping out about it. And he's like, you said, like, he was untrustworthy. Like, this is welcome to the rebellion. This is what we're doing now.
Right. Right.
And apparently this lines up with, Rebels where they watch, in one of the Rebels episodes, they watch her give the speech. And while the speech is different and, you know, it's not exactly what they wrote here, you know, there's references to the Gorum massacre in Rebels, and there are references to, like, in this one, her, I think it's her, her aide is like, we're going to get you to Gold Squadron. And that's, Gold Squadron is who she's with when she gets to the Ghost. So she's on her way to potentially meet, you know, the characters from Rebels, but we're not going to see it because they're going to time jump a year. And by the time that happens, she'll have been to Yavin, and like the rebellion will be set up to some extent, you know, to get to Rogue One. But it's just so well connected and so like thought out of like the writer sitting there going, well, this is where she needs to be. This is how we need to get her there. You know, and it just builds on the mythology of, by the time you get to Jyn Erso sitting on Yavin and Mon Mothma introduces Cassian to her, that there's this now shared history between the two of them, that he's the one that got her out, and she knows that she can trust him no matter what because he got her out.
Right, right.
So it's super well done, and it's the idea of an adult Star Wars was laughed at by a lot of people, but they have shown that not only is it possible, but like it's some of the best Star Wars that there's ever been. So, you know, I don't know what Disney is going to do after this. Obviously there can't be a season three.
Right.
Obviously like they're seeing the internet comments about this being the best Star Wars, you know, since Rogue One or whatever. So I'm interested to see what Disney's reaction will be in their next steps with the franchise, with just like, right, Star Wars in general. Do they go for something more adult and realistic or whatever? But, you know, it's such good television that I think it's going to be hard for Disney to ignore. So,
yeah, I don't know. We only have 3 episodes left.
Yep.
But we know the K2SO is back.
Yes, yes. And, you know, that episode where they have the Gorman massacre, where K2SO and the other KX droids are just flinging people into walls and, like, showing the cruelty of the Empire was, like, so well done, and they weren't pulling any punches. They were just like, yeah, this is what a massacre would look like.
Right.
It did feel very Les Miserables to me. Like,
yeah.
You know, when you know, they attack the, what is it? What is it? A funeral procession in Les Mis? When they sing, can you hear the people sing?
Yeah, I don't remember. It's been a while.
You know, it felt very much like, because they're all speaking, it's not French, but like they've got all of these French actors that are speaking a dialogue that's close to French.
Right.
And, you know, this is their rebellion, and there a lot of them aren't going to survive. And it was just very Les Mis to me. I was like, oh, okay. We're kind of mixing in some, you know, pop culture with Star Wars, but, you know, it's still fun.
Right. I'm not hating the new Bail Organa either.
No, you like Benjamin Bratt as Bail?
Yeah, I think he's doing a fine job.
Yeah, I mean, he's always been a good actor. You know, I think that if you have to replace Jimmy Smits with somebody, I think Benjamin Bratt was probably the right choice instead of trying to find somebody that might have been a little less unknown but looked more like Jimmy Smits.
You mean they couldn't get Jeremy Sisto? Because I always confuse the two of them.
I guess not. Maybe he was busy too.
Could be.
But we know he turns back into Jimmy Smits in Rogue One, so.
Right.
You know, he's eventually going to look different anyway.
Yeah. My big question is, what happens to Cyril's mother?
I think she dies from a broken heart.
Oh. Poor woman.
The timing, like, I understand that they're traveling through, like hyperspace and stuff to get to different planets.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, Cassian being back on Coruscant the next day after the massacre felt a little weird to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, so I don't know where Gorman is in relationship to, like the central planets or whatever. But...
it's a suburb.
Is it? Okay. So like,
I don't know.
So he's like, yeah, I was there yesterday. And I saw everything. And it was like yesterday. Like, so when you see at the end of the first episode of this block where, or no, it's the second one where Cyril dies, and his mother's watching the TV, I'm like, well, when is that happening? Like, did they have a live view of what's going on in Gorman? And like they're watching this massacre unfold, and you know,
well, it was on TV.
Yeah, well, yeah. Again, Star Wars TV was something that I wasn't really aware of. Is like, you know, more than like holo projections or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, had a whole news network, and they brought back the little floating cameras from like Episode 3, from like out of the Senate and stuff. Like,
yep.
You know, and there's like. The guy that's basically spewing the propaganda for the Empire. And Cyril's like, wait, that's not what's going on. And I really enjoyed when Cyril and Andor get into the fight. And you know that Cyril has been looking for Andor for probably years at this point. And Andor doesn't remember him. And I think that's such a good... you know, because why would Andor remember him after all of the shit that's happened on Ferrix? So I just think it's really good writing.
Yeah, definitely.
I also watched the first block of Tales of the Underworld.
Oh yeah? What'd you think?
I liked it. I like Asajj Ventress.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether or not I knew that she was in a relationship with
Cad Bane.
No, the Jedi. What's his name? Voss. Quinlan Voss.
Oh, Quinlan Voss.
Yeah, because like in the very first episode, they're like taking her dead body to the. Wherever that was, and he's like, I'll always mm-hmm. love you. I was like, oh, that was a thing I wasn't aware of. At least I don't think I was aware of that. So, but I thought that first block was good. I kept expecting the kid Jedi to be somebody like that we knew,
yeah.
And he just wasn't. And I was like, all right, mm-hmm. I guess I can get on with that. So, yeah. Is the Cad Bane story good?
Yeah, all of it's good.
Okay. What else did you watch? Anything?
I watched episode... for, did we talk finale of Righteous Gemstones last week?
You hadn't seen it yet.
Oh. I was so excited when they started, when the kid from American Pie, Stifler?
Yeah.
was like gunning down all of the members of the Gemstones. I was like, oh, this is going to be great. It's going to be like total mayhem. They're going to kill everybody. And then they all came back to life. I was like, oh, fuck. It was definitely an interesting finale.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely, I feel like there was a lot of discussion in the beginning, probably in the beginning of like, they weren't really sure where to take it. Mm-hmm. And so I think in the writing, they decided that, okay, this would be a great place to end the show. And so they kind of wrote backwards from that. But yeah, it's funny because they start out, none of the main characters, with maybe the exception of John Goodman, have really grown at all.
Right.
Like, they're the same obnoxious, manipulative, religious family that they had always been. And you're right, when they start getting shot, it's like, okay, they're getting their comeuppance. They're paying for their sins through this guy who had been their friend or whatever. And the fact that that they all survived and they all had happy endings, I was like, okay.
Yeah.
We're just writing it as a happy ending. Is like, it was like the happy Scooby-Doo ending. Like,
mm-hmm.
You know, everybody's fine. Nobody, baby Billy doesn't finish his movie, I guess. Like, he just walks off set. I was like, what's the motivation for that? Besides them having to write that he's going back to his family.
Right.
Like, they could have just finished the movie and it flop or something. And then him saying, oh, I wasted all that time for nothing, when my family was what was important to me or something, you know, like,
yeah,
there were other ways to write around that instead of just like, all right, fuck it, I'm leaving. And you're like, oh, okay. So why did we spend all that time watching him dressed as Jesus?
Tingus.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I definitely think there were better seasons, but I think as far as closure goes, I think like, it was par for the course on the Righteous Gemstones. You know, whatever was going on with the characters, you know, they're always going to be that way. They're never going to learn from any of their mistakes or, you know, what happens to them. They're all going to be fucking terrible people. But yeah, I mean, it was definitely interesting as far as, like, I see what they were going for. I just don't think they ever got there.
No, I mean, it could have been such a takedown of, you know, religion today, and it wasn't. It was, I don't know. It was a very sitcom ending.
Yeah, it definitely was. You know, with the dad accepting his gay son, and then, you know, him marrying him, and like I know that Danny McBride, the whole reason for this is because of what he experienced when he moved to Charleston and seeing like the religious hypocrites and whatever. Which, you know, there's a ton of them here. And turning one of the pastors gay or whatever. You know, I don't necessarily know if that's supposed to be humorous, other than, like, you know, the fact that his father finally accepts him for who he is. But that all felt a little forced to me, too. So, I don't know. I think, you know, when it was Kelvin and the scantily dressed men, you know, and there was always the what's going on with Kelvin thing. I think that played for better comedy than like, oh, Kelvin's now this whiny little bitch that won't come out of his treehouse, you know,
right
thing. I think that cheapens the character, especially if you're going to be like, oh, well, he's actually gay and he's come to accept it. It's like, but that's not the way gay people act. Like, you know, I know it's for comedy and all that, but I don't know. I wasn't a fan of that storyline. I finally finished.
Well, in alternate news.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, wait. Did you see the televangelist Jim Baker is begging for $1 million or he's going to lose his home?
No.
He went on his show last week and said, if everyone that watches this program will give $1,000, we'll be able to pay our bills and stay on the air. Otherwise, we've got about another, maybe a month.
Jesus.
It's like, yeah, you know what? You should be on the fucking street.
I mean, how old is he? I mean, he was old as fuck.
85.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, like.
Yep.
Maybe you should travel a little bit, man. Maybe you should just get off the fucking road or, you know, get on the road and don't look back. Don't make fucking, you know, social media posts or anything. Just, you know, live out your life.
Take off.
Because $1,000 from everybody sounds like the fucking fraud that you were fucking convicted of.
Right. Right. Later in that same broadcast, he said, I guarantee you God's going to do something. God's going to bless you as you give, because when you give, you're going to receive.
You know, I heard that bullshit when I lived in Arkansas. I remember having a conversation with the guy that I worked for, and he was trying to explain to me how, because we were talking about like tithing or something. And I said, well, what if you don't have the money to tithe? Like, why are you supposed to give like your rent money if you can't afford to give your rent money or whatever? And he was like, oh, well, God will provide and he'll give it back to you tenfold. I was like, really? I was like, because there's an awful lot of poor people who like get evicted because they give all their money away.
Right.
I don't understand that shit at all. And the gullible people that are like, oh, I can't live without Jim Baker on my screen. I need to give him my last savings.
Well, and you know, with everything going on in our world right now, why isn't Joel Osteen or any of these other televangelists speaking up? I mean, besides the fact that they're all total frauds, but.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and that's that they don't want to rock the boat because people start looking at them.
Of course they do.
You know, who's that crazy ass guy with the private jet that they were like, he was trying to blow the COVID away by like the breath of God. You remember him? I mean, I know there's all kinds of crazy fucking pastors and stuff, but I don't remember his name.
Kenneth Copeland.
Yes, that dude. Like, how anybody fucking looks at him and is like, yeah, like, that's the word of God. That's just so weird to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why are you listening to these, like, wackos?
COVID-19, I blow the wind of God on you. You are destroyed forever and you'll never be back. Thank you, God.
Yeah, tell that to the million people that died.
And then after that, he tweeted, hey, everybody, we're good now. Oh, yeah. Crazy times.
Yeah. But, you know, Jesus would be a gun-toting Republican if he was alive, apparently.
And white.
Yeah, you know what's not in the Bible? White people.
Yes. Yes.
Like that's what they don't understand. Like, you all think that like you've been made in God's image, but you know who was really made in God's image? is the brown people.
Black people.
Black and brown people. Mm-hmm. Like that's where the Bible was written out of, so that's what you need to be looking at.
Right.
He definitely wouldn't be fucking conservative.
No.
Like, what the hell? I don't get it.
Yeah, well. I'm up to episode 4 of Last of Us.
Yeah, I still haven't made any progress.
Yeah, I think I'm about done.
Are you?
Yeah. It's just rehashing The Walking Dead.
Okay.
There's a new character who's the leader of the wolves, and he's very much like a Negan. There's like this really graphic torture sequence that he's part of. And it's like, I'd like it when it's the interaction of the humans and their lives and what's going on. And then it's just so much the same stuff. Even up to, you remember this, the episode where the black kid finally gets bitten?
Yeah.
So Abby and her girlfriend are out on their own, and they end up in an abandoned subway, and there are like some fresh cordyceps, like they kind of look more human than fungus. And they're being chased, and they get chased up to the exit where there's a cheese grater, and the cheese grater is like jammed, and Abby gets through it, and the girlfriend doesn't, and Abby like reaches out and puts her arm around the girlfriend so that she'll get bitten. This before.
Okay.
You know, if Catherine O'Hara becomes a cordycep, you know, that might be interesting. But it's just getting is,
you still there? John, you still
there? Yeah, I think I'm pretty close to. I'm still here. Okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you were cutting in and out.
Oh,
I don't know why.
Do we need to start over again?
No, we're fine.
Hi, I'm John. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
So you've only watched the first three?
The first two.
Oh, the first two.
Yeah, every time I ask if we want to watch it, there I get being told no. So, okay, whatever.
Oh, well, fine.
I may end up just watching it on my own just to see where. But, yeah, I mean, I got tired of The Walking Dead, too. To the point where I don't know if I ever saw the last couple of seasons of it. And
And there's so many spinoffs, but they're all the same.
Yeah, I mean,
Negan's bad again.
Yeah, and I tried to watch the one with Daryl in Europe because I was like, oh, Europe, like at least that'll be different. And then I just got so sick of it. I was like, yeah, I'm not even going to continue this.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever. I mean, there's so much content anyway. I finished all of AP Bio.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. I definitely felt like they were reaching in the last season.
Okay.
Some of the stories got a little bit ridiculous. To all be happening within the same school year.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's a nitpick, and I know I'm an asshole for what I'm about to say, but there is a, the last episode takes place, like they flash back to the first day when he's there. And
okay,
I don't know whether or not they knew that was the last episode or not, but all of the kids that had been replaced don't show back up. Like, especially like in the first season, there's a redheaded kid that a lot of shit like revolves around. It flashes back to the first day and like, he's not there. And I was like, okay, fine. You don't want to go get the actors, but then don't flash back to the first day. Like,
right.
Like, and I know it's a nitpick, and I know they're just like, well, fuck, we were just using the people that we had, and that's fine. That's where my mind goes is, you know, as soon as they say like first day, I'm like, okay, where's all the kids they replaced? I don't know. I know I'm a dick. But what are you going to do?
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't think I watched anything else, though.
No? I watched the remake of The Four Seasons. It was an old, old Alan Alda movie.
Yeah, I remember that.
With Steve Carell, Tina Fey, Will Forte, Kerry Kenny, Coleman Domingo.
Yeah.
And it's basically about three groups of friends who take vacations together. And then it's kind of that, I mean, it's very, there's not a lot of fall down funny stuff. It's all very character driven.
Okay.
Like in I think it's the first episode when they all go on vacation, instead of going to like a luxury resort, they're going to a yurt resort.
Okay.
Where they're all in yurts, yeah. And then a hurricane strikes.
Oh. Okay.
It's very much like the way the characters on Modern Family were written.
Okay.
I mean, all really good actors. I don't know. If you're in the mood for a light comedy, I would check it out.
Okay.
But it's not like, oh my God, this is so hilarious. It's very amusing, I think, is more what I would say.
Okay, and not so much like must-see.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's got a really good cast. But yeah, I think I have one new episode of Doctor Who I got to catch up on.
Yeah, I haven't seen this week's. I wasn't crazy about that. Did you see the episode where it was basically Ruby Sundays was back?
Yes.
I wasn't crazy about that one.
No?
No. Like, Doctor Who works best when Doctor Who's in it. And
right.
The fact that he's in the very beginning and at the very end, I'm sure it was like, you know, to give Nkuti a break, which is fine. Like, mm-hmm. I'm sure Homeboy works like a ton.
Right.
And they, you know, they could film this while they were filming something else and, you know, they didn't need him or whatever. But I don't care about UNIT. I just don't. You know, and you know, they want to, we're what, 3 or 4 episodes into like a, I don't even know how many episodes are in this season. But like, there was this promise about exploring the character of Miss Flood that really hasn't come to fruition. She keeps showing up.
No.
Like, there's nothing. There's got to be more to her than that. So every time I see her, I'm like, oh, we're going to get some information. And it's like, nope, there's eight episodes and we're five in. I mean, granted, like the last season, the final big reveal of what was going on wasn't until like the last two episodes, which is very Doctor Who, but like, they kept saying, like, oh, Miss Flood's going to be a major part of season two. And it's like, really? Okay.
Yeah. Left, so you better figure it out.
Yeah. All right. Well, do you have anything else for this week, or did we cover it all?
No, I think that's it.
All right. Well, if you want to get in touch with us, you can always send us an email at info@dancemonkeypodcast.com. You can follow us on Facebook and YouTube and let us know you're listening. So until next week, this is Chris. Have a good week.